Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
God is long-suffering with you, Christian, but all He expects is obedience. The only sin in this Bible is disobedience. You call it 100 different names. The only sin in this Bible is disobedience. He says, I place the Spirit in the heart of man. The mind of man is contrary to the will of God, and the flesh is an abomination to me. It's up to the spirit man, whom I knew before I placed in the womb, to take control of this carnal mind and guide this abominable flesh in a pathway that God wants you to go. And it all goes around moderation. All things in this life, if you follow God with all your heart under the first covenant and under Christ's covenant, the reestablishment of the first covenant, if you're following God with all your heart, your spirit man will be in control, but you must maintain moderation, like Paul said. And it starts with the dinner table, believe it or not. The gateway drug to the spiritual zombie is excess food. I will attest to this my entire life. The greatest times I've had following after God was when I was fasting and eating minimally. And the spirit man becomes so strong that he's able to fight off all of the other things that come against you. You put too much food, and the churches are into this. Oh, then buffets after Sunday. That's the reason we go to church nowadays, Jonathan.
Potlucks.
Yes. The church women bring so much of that fried chicken and fried pork chops and then fried taters. I love fried taters myself. Mm-hmm. I can put myself to sleep with a big pan of fried potatoes in just a second.
Yeah, you said that exactly right. That's too much food. Puts you straight to sleep.
It does. And I'm talking about spiritually. Yeah, and you also get sleepy in the flesh too.
Yeah.
But you go ahead. You go ahead and carry around 20, 30 extra pounds, Christian, and you see where your spirit life ends up. And all of a sudden you'll notice there are other things in your carnal life that the spirit doesn't like, because he's in a daze half the time.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5, for thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. A man doth travail with child.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned unto paleness. They are terrified and in spiritual pain. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Now, we just made, a 2,500, we've made a 4,000 year time warp there to the tribulation period. You got to pay attention in Isaiah and Jeremiah for these little leaps in time. Otherwise, you read it and it just makes absolutely no sense. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. They shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. He's talking about the millennial period right there. And the yoke he's going to break off of them is Satan's yoke, because the carnal mind has the seed of the serpent in it. And you have to catch episode 1 on WBFFradio.com to understand that. At that time, I will set up David's throne again, and my son will sit on it. I will break the yoke of the seed of the serpent that is on my children, because they refused to remove the inhabitants of Canaan when they came in. They disobeyed time and time again. You all thought that God was such a mean God. He says, wipe out all the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, or at least get them out of the land. Don't leave any of them, not a single one. And Judah says, oh man, some of these guys make some good servants. I think we're going to keep them. And then the other tribes watched what Judah was doing. Oh, he's got other people chopping his wood now. We want some servants too. God won't mind. And Moses is telling, he told them, before he died, do not do this thing. And then we're at the time of Caleb. And Caleb says, all right, you already disobeyed. You kept all these people here. Just don't procreate with them and they'll all die off. And in the end, we will have done God's will, not the way he wanted it, but it will have come to pass. And they said, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
We won't procreate it with any of them beautiful slave girls that we've kept. No. We're good, Caleb. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we see where that got us.
They're just here to make us tea.
See where that got us, Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
But here we go, verse 10. I go down these rabbit holes all the time. Verse 10, therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of thy captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. The only time that has ever happened, the nation of Israel shall be at absolute peace, and no one will dare come about them. There was a time of David, momentarily. But this is talking about the reign of Christ during the millennial time when he sets the throne of David up. And the millennial time comes and the Jewish kingdom is the predominant kingdom on this earth. And all the other nations, all the peoples that have survived the tribulation period will come and pay tribute to the Jewish nation. And God will, at that point, Jesus will fight against all the remaining evil that is in the people within the land. And they will be in their captivity. They shall return and be at rest and be quiet, and none shall make them afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I will make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, will not leave thee altogether unpunished. That's important right there, because the entire tribulation period is for the purpose of the Jews to come to the understanding of who Jesus Christ is, because we know what they did to him, even though their leaders 98% knew he probably was the Messiah. He didn't fit with their idea of what Messiah should be. Even though it's written here, he would come as a child, he would be a suffering servant, he would die on a cross. They were looking past that to his second return, who is written right here in the Old Testament. The entire history and future of mankind is in the Old Testament. Don't ever let a preacher tell you it doesn't apply to today.
Mm-hmm.
They looked right past that part that they did not like, because they were under the captivity of the Roman Empire and they didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
They were wanting the Messiah, who they see here in the book, mm-hmm. comes back on a white horse with a sword that protrudes from the sword of his words that come out of his mouth and would slay the nations and set up the Jewish Empire. That's the Messiah we want. Mm-hmm. This child Messiah, suffering servant, just don't read that part.
He's washing feet.
Yeah, don't read that part. Just go to the second coming part. That's the Messiah we want, so we're not going to accept him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, we're the Jews. We can choose who we accept and who we don't.
And they were looking at that. I believe, my personal belief is, they were looking at the Roman Empire at the time, because you know Rome led by strength.
Yes.
And you know absolute like domination.
Oh, and iron. So the iron in the statue Nebuchadnezzar, iron.
Right. So they had to have the MMA Jesus versus the the one who comes here to actually save us.
Yeah. This long suffering Jesus is just not going to free us from the Roman Empire.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to look right past him to the second time he comes, and we're going to mitigate him. Let's get rid of him.
Yeah.
Have him crucified.
Yeah. We'll just do this ourselves.
But Pharisee, the book says he will be crucified. Oh, no. The book says he's going to be crucified too? I didn't read that part. Wow. You know what? This truly was the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the soldier at the foot of the cross come to the realization, this truly was the Son of God. And the man on the cross behind him truly was the Son of God, is the Son of God. You know, the Pharisees knew it also.
The guy on the cross, I'm sorry, just to iterate this, but the guy on the cross is going through the most excruciating pain that any human being, or one of the most excruciating pains that any human being can go through, and still recognize him as the Son of God.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
That takes a lot.
And, and you know, and what you say, they're in this horrible pain, and for hours, they had the audacity to curse him.
Right.
You know, I mean, right. Does it make you feel better? Does it make your pain better to be cursing another man who's sharing the pain?
The only example I got is and it's a wrong way, but I'm just saying, like, whenever you go into a situation and, you know, somebody's wronged you and you just blow up in anger, stuff like that. Yeah. Well, for that moment, you feel like, oh, yeah, I told them.
Yeah.
But if you have a consciousness, whenever you walk away, sometimes you're, maybe I went a little too far or something.
And the other guy cursed him until he died.
Right.
This guy here, finally, what is this? Cursing's not doing me any good. And man, the whole planet's turned dark. Earthquake. This is truly the Son of God.
And he's going through the same thing I'm going through right now. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Verse 12. Jeremiah. Chapter 30. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. Your disobedience is incurable. We have volumes leading up to Jeremiah, and even the minor prophets after that, showing that the disobedience of the nation of Israel is incurable. Is your disobedience incurable, Christian? You say you want to go to heaven, you believe in Jesus Christ. Do you hold on to the law? Christ's perfect salvation, but yes, you got to keep Sunday holy. It just looks good to the neighbors. No, Sunday's not the Sabbath. You're failing in that little legality there. So if you think you're keeping Sunday holy, the Bible says if you keep one tittle of the law, you must keep it all. So if you have that in your heart, that you must keep Sunday holy, Sunday's not the Sabbath. So under the law, you'll be punished for keeping the Sabbath on the wrong day. And under Christ, his perfect sacrifice, blessings will not come because you feel it necessary to add to what he done on the cross. How dare you? How dare you tell Jesus Christ what he done just wasn't quite up to your standards? Heaven you'll never see. I'm not going to say you're going to go to hell, because God understands the shortcomings of this frail human being. Oh, if I'm not going to heaven, I must go to hell. No, Pastor Bill didn't have it quite right. You know, he only read 3 verses of the book. You know, he didn't read the entire book multiple, hundreds of times. You got to read it all. God's kingdom is vast. God says, I will create this new earth, brand new. My kingdom and the city of heaven, God who dwells in the city of heaven, the new Jerusalem, will come down and rest upon this earth, 1,500 miles round, 1,500 miles tall, a giant pyramid-shaped city. Can you imagine? And you wonder why the Great Pyramid was built. Some speculate when the angels fell, they created it to remind them of the city of God with the giant gold capstone. There's no explanation for how these massive stones can be moved. We can't do it today with modern technology. Mm-mm. I've seen a portrayal of our greatest earth-moving machines, giant cranes, and just one of these 1,000-ton blocks would have to be surrounded by these giant cranes just to pick it up, let alone move it 200 miles and build a pyramid with it. Can't be done. That's speculation. I cannot find exact proof of that, but I believe it, because it is not even possible with today's technology. But God's kingdom, the city of heaven, will come down. Revelation 3 and 4 says of all the types of hearts, all the types of people in this world, the majority of them will live in God's kingdom. They won't ever set foot in the city of heaven because they could not follow him with all their hearts. They could not follow them with even a majority of their hearts most of the time. and rewards. Rewards to the city of heaven is rewards for those who have accepted Christ. No one comes to the Father but by me. That is a play on words. There are going to be some in the kingdom of heaven under other covenants. Oh, blasphemous. No, it's not. You have to look at this book very closely. God says, in those days, those who have, they have made themselves eunuchs for my cause, I will reward. A couple other types of rewards he lists there also. But those who get in the city of heaven by Jesus Christ only. And the book also says, once you know of Christ, it trumps all other covenants. And if you do not accept him, there's no other covenant can get you anywhere.
That's a checkered flag.
Yes, it is. And once you know of it, how do you explain? And I've had pastors explain this to me. What about a man who went his entire life, never heard of Jesus Christ? And I had some of them say, oh, well, God would never allow that to happen. Well, that has happened. I guarantee it's happened. And they say, well, he's obviously going to hell. No, this is a merciful God. All merciful God. You must make a choice. And for those who were not under the covenants, even the Canaanites God had covenants with, those who have never been under covenant, children who died before the age of accountability, and that's different from everyone. Some age of accountability people never get to. Some, I think I was accountable at 4 or 5 years old because of my grandmother. It's never a time I didn't know Jesus Christ that I can remember. Remember her holding me in her arms and telling me about it. My age of accountability came early. Some of you may come late. Don't ever let someone tell you it's at 12 years old. No, It's not. Some folks with diminished mind capacity will never get to the age of accountability. God is not a horrible God. God is a loving God.
Mm-hmm. Some God, of the first shall be last, and some of the last shall be first.
That's right. And he makes a way for the innocents. In fact, the followers of Christ ask him, why do you speak in parables? And he says, because I see the stiff-necked disobedience of these people, and I know they will refuse to understand. So I'm going to speak to them in ways where they cannot understand. Because if they understand and reject, it's going to be worse for them than if they just don't quite understand. Because God will be lenient, just like he was with these people right here at this time.
Now, ignorance is forgivable. Now, willful ignorance, different story.
Punishable.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Like you were saying earlier about if you know and you still sit under something, then you're willfully still sitting under.
Exactly. Punishment will come. Right. And back to God's kingdom just for a moment longer, Christian. Most Christians won't see heaven. You will see God's kingdom, and that's a glorious place. And if I'm on the farthest outposts where I can barely see the city, that's fine with me because I deserve to be in hell. The day you think you deserve to be in heaven, you need to examine yourself, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and deserve hell and fire. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ alone, none of the law mixed in, only by the blood of Jesus Christ can you see the city of heaven. And I just explained God's kingdom, but you read Revelation 3 and 4, the seven churches. And when you read that, read it as seven types of individuals, seven types of hearts of individuals. You'll see that some live in the kingdom of God. Some get to go to the city, but live in the kingdom of God. Some get to dwell in the kingdom of God. Some get to access the throne room of the kingdom of God. Your Billy Grahams and your Charlie Kirks, absolute dedication to the work of the Almighty. You know, are you going to get the participation trophy, Christian? About, what are they, about 4 inches tall, Jonathan?
Paper mache trophies.
Yes, yes.
Don't get it wet.
Yeah, you're going to get the participation trophy, or are you going to get the big, grand crown of life? And there's more to it. You know, once you've accepted Christ, it's not done. There are those in God's kingdom because once they accepted Christ, they really didn't do much with it. They really didn't try to expand his kingdom. It says every day they must drink from the waters of life that flow from the throne in the city of God to maintain the life that they have, because they were happy with a participation trophy. And then there are those who achieve the crown of life, and the rewards just go up and up and up and up and up. The more you do after you've found Christ, the more you do, the greater you are in the kingdom. And to be one of those who gets to go into the throne room, can you imagine? Because it's like the greatest drug that you could ever feel. Remember when I broke my femur? I don't take medications as a rule. Broke my femur, I'm laying in the hospital. And I told him, no, I don't want any pain medicine. It's all right. Pain is a reminder that you're alive. But there's two little stories. I'll tell both of them. I'm just denying the medication. It's all right. As long as I don't move, it's all right. And this nurse comes in and says, when the doctor comes in, he's going to do bad things to you. Then she said it just like that. And I said, bad things? She goes, she shook her head, yes. And I said, okay, give me the pain medication. And she come in. And as she was sucking it into the syringe, he comes in with a Makita drill and a quarter-inch drill bit. I had broken my left femur. He drilled a hole straight through my shin bone and drove a pin in there to put a traction device on it to pull the leg apart. As she was administering the pain medication.
Ooh.
Oh, but I tell you what, minute and a half, 2 minutes later, the most awesome feeling. Warmth and just, oh. And it was, I don't believe I'd ever had any medication like that, but imagine that times a million.
Oh, yeah.
That is what drawing near the throne of God is to the spirit man. The greatest peace and warmth and absolute pleasure.
Complete security.
Complete. Like a puppy dog wound up in someone's lap sleeping because he is at such peace. That's what drawing near to the throne of God is. So Christian, you have accepted Christ. What are you going to do now? Working with your hands will not save you. You've already gotten that part. But working with your hands for his kingdom will elevate you in the kingdom of God. And you might see heaven if you work hard enough. Or are you happy with the participation trophy and sitting out in the kingdom of God on the new earth, drinking every day from the waters of life that flow from the throne? You know, this is going to be a brand new earth. You could go to all corners of this brand new earth and just explore. But no, not you. Because every day you must drink from the river of life that flows from the throne. Because you chose not to work for him in this life or do the very minimal. So now you must work to achieve, to keep your eternal life. It's right here in this book. I don't care what your pastor said. Heaven is not one big room and everyone goes there. Read the book for yourself, or sit under a preacher who only gives you a little bit. And I hope he's giving you the little bit he's giving you. I hope it's the truth. Because if it's not the truth, both you and him will be punished because you didn't search it out in this book and prove it. Wow, back to where we were. Verse 14, chapter 30. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one. For the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. You have been so disobedient. Nobody else wants to even be around you now. And that all goes into the curse God put on them when he scattered them into the winds in 70 AD. You will be a curse. You will be a thorn in the side of every one that you live next to. And you wonder why there is so much anti-Semitism in the world. It's unexplainable in carnal sense to me, Jonathan.
Oh, absolutely, man.
It's supernatural.
Yeah.
That man has some Jewish blood in him and people hate him.
Yeah.
It's not natural.
No.
Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquities. Because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto you. You know why you're being punished. Why are you crying? And I have had times in my life during my spiritual walk when I know why I've been punished. And I don't cry. I hate myself because of what I've done. Don't sit there and pout about it. I know exactly why the situation has come about because of what I've done. God has reminded me so many times when I step out of line and bad things happen. It comes right to my mind why these things are happening.
Same here a lot of times.
Yeah. You got to be ever vigilant, Christian. You got to know when bad things happen in your life, examine your walk with God. You will figure out why these things are happening. It's not just karma.
Mm-mm.
No such thing. It's a spiritual war going on. That's a name. That's a name for punishments.
Yeah, for justice.
And rewards.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Verse 16, therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured. And all thine adversaries, every one of them shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all thy prey upon thee will I give for a prey. That's basically saying, you're being punished by me. These people are going to despise and hate you and try to punish you themselves. But they're going to be punished for that because you still belong to me. It's my punishment I'm dealing out. They have no place. It's none of their business. But they're going to want to get involved just because, like the man on the cross, Christ is there and they just cursing him the whole time. Mm-hmm. You know, misery loves company.
Mm-hmm. And stepping outside of parameters of what they're allowed to do and not allowed to do.
So right.
It's like you said before, we talked about before, and I'll make this really quick, that God waits up until the point that they do just enough before he does
the
something.
Red line. Yeah.
Right.
And he even backs the red line up sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. It's another red line. All right, another red.
Oh, it kind of lets us put off the gas.
The last red line. Okay, this is the final last red line.
Yeah.
And, all right, you crossed the final last red line.
Yeah. Just like a good father.
Yes, absolutely. He's got Moses up there arguing with him. Yeah. Could just move the red line over just a little bit further.
Yeah.
Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be aforetime. As before, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engageth his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until we have done it, and until we have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. And he ends up there with prophesying of the millennial time period. Because when they came out of Babylon, God basically turned his back on them. He said, I will have no further use for you except to bring forth a pure Hebrew for my son to indwell. Other than that, we are just looking forward here to the time of his second coming and the establishment of the kingdom and the promises that I have given you for hundreds of years. That's the time it will happen. The Jews do not have the ability to see these time warps within these pages. They read it all as if it would happen right there during the Roman occupation. Wow, it's been a good one. Good one here today in Jeremiah with Jonathan and David on WBFF 97.7 Veterans for Freedom Radio, coming to you from the beautiful Horseshoe Lake Studios. And we will catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan, exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.